across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
At 7:06 on this Thursday, March 7th, 2024, nice to have you here. Coming up this hour, the new legislative districts in Wisconsin have opened up many options for people who are deciding whether to run for election, whether to run for re-election, whether to retire, whether to move. We'll check out the landscape based on one key state Senate district in Northeast Wisconsin. In the quest to have a legislature that is more responsive to voters, Kristen Lyerly and Jamie Wall, state Senate candidate, will be along in a sec to join us and talk more about that. Brittany Merlot will join us again next week with a more expanded look at the weather. But we can always tell you what the weather is in Tigerton, thanks to Rob commenting on Facebook, who says it's partly cloudy and 30. He says he was out taking pictures of a very beautiful sunrise. It was like nature's painting. We all need to get out and enjoy nature. And we're kind of talking kind of like that during the break with Greg Bach and Kristen Lyerly about not getting so sucked into the news vortex, you know, yeah. And to open up your blinders and, like Rob is saying here, go out and look at the sunset now and then.
Yeah, go out and talk to your neighbors a little bit.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, and you don't have to agree with them on everything, but have that civil conversation now and then, you know, and just keep in mind why some of us are engrossed in news and politics, because they are very important issues. Just don't confuse it for, you know, running your life 24/7. So we'll talk more about, again, legislative races coming up at the bottom of the hour here. What else were we discussing? Oh, I was going to say, this is Thursday, which is usually the day that Greg and I kind of figure out, well, what segments are we going to pick for the best of show? Because we always run a best of show on the weekends and for the podcast. And Greg, my nominee for the best segments of this week will be anything from January, back when I had a voice. So if we could go with that, please.
And he was on vacation in February, so.
Yes, exactly. So January will work just fine. It's National Cereal Day, so we've been taking your texts and your Facebook comments as far as Michael there saying that it's Honey Nut Cheerios. So you can text us, you can call us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. What's your favorite cereal here on National Cereal Day? All right, before we get to some serious news, I have to make another one of those old guy confessions.
Uh-oh.
Why I open myself up for this kind of mockery, I don't know. But every so often, I will be, you know, flipping channels, and I will actually flip away from some of my old man music, and I'll flip through some of the things that the kids are listening to. And then my daughters or somebody will go, Dad, that song's been out for a while. And I had to look it up, and the song's been out for about 6 months already. But after I heard it, I'm like, I came home, I played this song 6 to 8 more times yesterday. Olivia Rodrigo, Bad Idea, Right? And I know the song's been on. Olivia Rodrigo is one of those, she hit it really big right out of the gate. And kind of like Taylor Swift way back when, it's like I kind of missed the first wave, you know, but then 1989 came out and you're like, oh yeah, she's good. She's got some staying power. And that was me yesterday with Olivia Rodrigo, dude, to Bad Idea, Right? Next thing you know, I'm on TikTok, and there are so many variations of it. There's an AI variation of Bad Idea, Right? being sung in the style of the B-52s.
Almost like to
their song, Rome. So yeah, it turns out that every so often Grandpa can expand his horizons, musically. So there's my musical confession that I want to get out there for everybody.
That's not a confession. Delightful. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Well, I'll take that. There. Yeah. Fishing for compliments over here. Vice President Kamala Harris was in Wisconsin yesterday talking about apprenticeships, union apprenticeships, and ways that the administration is putting forth a new executive order that directs federal agencies to explore which government jobs can be filled with trained apprentices rather than those with four-year degrees. And it's a very real topic. What's it called? The paper ceiling, where there are some jobs that say they require a college degree. And again, I'm very pro liberal arts college degree, got one myself, but that doesn't mean every job needs to have that. And to look at those areas where maybe you don't need that paper ceiling of a college degree if an apprentice can do it. Kristen, you're in a field where obviously training is extremely important. But I mean, you know that there's a lot of industries and a lot of fields that could reevaluate, especially in this kind of a labor shortage, if you're expanding the applicant pool the way that you could be to make the most out of it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think of myself as 16-year-old Kristen trying to figure out what to do next and where I should go. And, you know, I was really lucky to have parents who were supportive and really wanted me to go to college. But once I got there, I had no idea what I was doing, but I figured it out along the way. And now looking back, I think of all the different ways people can get into medicine and nursing. You know, you could go to PA school, you could go to nursing school. There are midwives who go through nursing school and then get a midwifery certificate after that. And there are midwives who go straight into midwifery. There, all the pathways are there. It's just a matter of looking at your next step and figuring out what feels right to you and then taking the following step. But in order to do that, you have to know what your options are. And I really appreciate the vice president just highlighting some of these different options that aren't just college or not college, but there's so much diversity out there and so many different opportunities and so much need.
And in talking about the different careers in healthcare, again, right before the break, I was saying that this is National Hospitalist Day, but that to explain what a hospitalist is versus, say, a clinician or somebody else. So, Kristen, tell us about what hospitalists do on their special day.
I think when we think of doctors, we think of when you go to the clinic and you see your doctor, but there are some doctors who only work in the hospital and they only take care of patients in the hospital. So you can't make an appointment with them, but if you're sick and you need help in the hospital, those are your folks. Those are hospitalists.
There we go. So happy day to them. Let's see. Lynn from Oconomowoc has chimed in on the text line. Favorite cereal. Frosted Flakes with bananas and cream.
Ooh. Oh, Lynn, that's very specific.
Decadent.
I know.
I like
it. But by the way, that also takes me to this. On the farm, because, you know, Sherry grew up on a dairy farm. Can we talk for a moment about having milk that's fresh out of the bulk tank so it's chilled?
Oh, yeah.
But it's right out of the bulk tank. Fresh farm milk on your cereal.
Oh, it tastes so good. And it's so filling. I remember visiting my grandparents.
It's half and half, basically.
Yeah, you know? It is. I remember drinking the milk and thinking, this is so good. And the small glass seems to be all that I want. You know? Whereas if you drink the skim milk, it's like you can drink glass after glass after glass. But the fat, it just really makes you feel full.
I just remember bringing another friend who also just grew up in cities and came out to the farm for the first time. And I mean, once she had that first glass, she could not get enough. And it is. It's just a wonderful treat to have. Lynn goes on to say, but her daily breakfast is blueberries, Bob's Red Mill cranberry and almond granola. So blueberries and cranberry and almond granola.
Can I just sing the praises of something really quick with regard to what Lynn said about her breakfast? Bob's Red Mill was the founder died a millionaire, and instead of selling his company, he gave it to his 700 plus workers. It is now an employee run company, and it goes along with their idea of providing good food to the people, but also providing good jobs. So instead of saying selling it to some big label, he gave it to his employees, and now they are the owners of this company. So good on you, Lynn, for using food from a good company.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lynn, for bringing that up. All right, Congressman Mark Pocan was on yesterday, and he hinted at what we learned later in the day, that we probably won't be hearing about government shutdown threats anymore. It looks like Republicans are going to claim victory and they're going to sign a continuing resolution budget deal that will take us through the rest of the year. Now, there will be some cuts in it, which is what I want to bring up. We're going to play some audio from Speaker Mike Johnson in a moment. But the point being, the House did pass this package of spending bills that would keep money going to key federal agencies. They've still got to work on a package of six more bills, including the Department of Defense, before this is all said and done. But here's how they weirdly claim victory. Supporters of the deal, your Republican supporters said, well, they're keeping spending is going up, but it's going up by less than the rate of inflation, which is tantamount to a cut, forcing agencies to be more frugal and focus their manpower on top priorities. Listen to what Speaker Mike Johnson says here about how proud he is of where they decided to make cuts.
We have advanced, and we also advanced, as you've seen the summary, cuts to some of the agencies that we believe are really overreaching and have been turned in some ways against the American people. We're going to cut 3% from DOJ, 7% from the ATF, 6% from the FBI, and 10% from the EPA. And that's just a start. We have a lot more.
That's defunding the police. That is defunding the police. You're bragging about cutting to the Department of Justice, mm-hmm. to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and the FBI. You're the ones defunding the police, and you're bragging about it. That's amazing to me.
And defunding healthcare. That's why I was in Washington, D.C. We were trying to prevent Medicare cuts, payment cuts to physicians. Physicians have actually taken a 30% pay cut over the last 20 years, if you factor in inflation. And private practice docs are not able to keep their doors open anymore. And that's having a huge impact on who gets healthcare and where doctors practice. Yet, our leaders are not, they're not hearing it.
But at least Republicans, again, they kind of gave up the game yesterday mm-hmm. when they acknowledged that you can increase spending, but if it's below the rate of inflation, it's tantamount to a cut. Because for how many years, a couple of decades now, they'd always say, oh, what do you mean it's a cut? We actually increased the pool of money. Yeah, but you increased it below the rate of inflation, mm-hmm. which is basically a cut. And now at least they're acknowledging they knew what they were doing all along. And I really have to pop off about one more thing. There's another provision in there, and we talked about this a few days ago, and it's in the bill. The Associated Press wrote that the provision, quote, strengthens gun rights for certain veterans. No, it doesn't. It makes it easier for veterans with mental health issues to get access to firearms and kill themselves or others. And at a time when veteran suicides are a very real problem in this country, that Republicans would block a way to keep veterans from passing a background check for weapons. It's just absolutely shameful, Kristen.
It's entirely shameful. I was talking with some veterans over the weekend, and they don't even understand why this is happening because they are seeing their friends dying. We lose 17 veterans every single day to suicide, and this is part of the problem.
Makes no sense whatsoever. It's just about 7:19 wherever you're listening around Wisconsin on this Thursday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Taylor Dane is 62 years old today. Temperatures around Wisconsin include 37 here on Lake Wissota and in Hayward. Park Falls at 34, Wausau 34, Green Bay 34. La Crosse is at 39, Wisconsin Rapids 31, 38 in Oshkosh, 32 in Madison, 32 in Waukesha as well. Kristen Lyerly is back from Washington, D.C., making some trips, buttonholing some members of Congress. How did things go after last week's kerfuffle? I always try to give Greg time to ring the bell, but after last week's kerfuffle over the Alabama Supreme Court ruling on IVF, how did that go with the members that you wanted to talk to?
You know, the Democratic members were interested in having a conversation. The Republican members shut it down real fast. This is a big big problem. I mean, literally, there was one member, we met with their staffers, but there was one staffer who put his hands up in the air and said, nope, we're not going to go there. Because this is a problem for them. IVF is a family-building medical procedure, and they don't have an answer that is satisfactory to the public, that is actually in the best interest of the people.
Well, like we said, they're busy cutting for law enforcement. And I like the point you mentioned to me during the break is that, again, they just hear acronyms, you know, DOJ, ATF, EPA, things like that. But that's law enforcement. Those are things that protect us, protect our communities, protect our environment. And for a group that loves to talk about backing the blue, they relished the thought of cutting these agencies that they said were infringing on Americans. Yeah, by enforcing the law.
I don't know if you all saw this clip going around of Marjorie Taylor Greene talking about how disappointed she was in the Biden administration on the border and taking care of, like, fighting terrorism and all that stuff. And there was a gentleman, I can't remember who it was. I will find the clip because I would like to play it, where he said, I'm not going to take a single word from a person who is selling defund the FBI hats and shirts on her website and making a profit off of trying to take money away from the number one force that fights terrorism in this country. And to me, it's just absolutely ridiculous that, like you said, Pat, they're like, back the blue, but not this blue, the other blue.
Yeah.
Because they vote for us.
But when you read their, so my partner is a police officer and he gets all of these, you know, social media newsletters and things. And the headline is always so enticing and it looks like it's aligned with what they care about. But when you actually dig into the meaning of it and you look at the references and where they're getting their information, it makes zero sense at all. So I can't emphasize strongly enough to our listeners out there, and I'm so grateful to you, Pat, for doing this. Read the headlines, have the conversations, look into this, because they are tricking us and they know that we don't have time. We don't have the ability to pay attention to every little story, but they are making us vote against, choose against our own best interests. And the only way to fight back is to work together and to figure it out together.
And if you want another example, the bipartisan border security bill that they killed, the border agents, you know, their association, they were all for the bill. They're like, this will help us. There are machines right now that can better detect fentanyl at the border. They're sitting in warehouses now because Congress will not allocate the funds in a border security bill to get those going. And we don't hear that nearly enough from the national press out there.
But what you do hear are Republicans screaming on Twitter and all of the social media, the Biden administration is failing the borders. And people are always in the comments saying, he gave you something. And you said, you didn't say no because you didn't like the bill. You said no because your king said no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly it. Let's see. We talked a lot yesterday about Nikki Haley getting out of the presidential race. But there was another dropout as well on the Democratic side. Dean Phillips exited the race. The outgoing Minnesota congressman did what he said he was going to do, that when he would drop out, he would give a full-throated endorsement to President Biden. And he did. And I, because of my voice being the way it is, I'm not going to read it all, but I'm looking at it on Twitter, and it is lengthy, but it is extremely classy, talking about how wonderful Joe Biden was when his daughters came to visit back when Biden was vice president. Surprise, surprise, Biden had ice cream. You know, he talked about the reasons he ran to resist Donald Trump and all that. But, you know, he goes on to say, it is clear Joe Biden is our candidate and our opportunity to demonstrate what type of country America is and intends to be. And on he goes. So it's a very, very nice endorsement. It did not blow the party apart like a certain Democratic Party, you know, several years back, shall we say. And I wanted to bring that up, especially as a contrast to the Republican Party, where, again, Nikki Haley, not exactly endorsing Trump. In fact, not at all, saying you've got to earn our support back. Whereas Democrats are saying, look, maybe Joe Biden is not the spring chicken we would like him to be. But if you're talking about options, this is our guy. And that is where the party by and large is coalescing.
Yeah, I have to say, Dean Phillips is a classy guy. When I lived in Minnesota not so long ago, I helped to get him elected to Congress the first time. And I think a lot of us really wondered what he was doing when he decided to enter the race. But, you know, it was nice for people to see there was a contrast and to just kind of see how this all played out. I'm not at all surprised by the way that he exited. But what's happening in the Republican Party with Haley and Trump just continues to show how fractured this party is. And nothing showed that more to me than when my Congressman Mike Gallagher decided not to run for another term. He, I think, sees this party as being so fundamentally broken that there is no future until this problem is resolved. We've just got to wait out this mega extremism. We've got to marginalize it, and we've got to move forward together.
Yeah, you've got to defeat it. There's no other way around it. Is you have to get people to just come right out and say this isn't about staying home in November. This is about voting against, you know, this kind of slide toward authoritarianism. So I'm glad to hear that. What were your thoughts on Joe Sopecki in the last hour when I asked him about Mike Gallagher's retirement? Said that, you know, he's not nearly so much a politician as somebody who wants to be like somebody who would like to be defense secretary or, you know, do something else in the private sector. And, you know, that part of what got him, you know, in trouble with the party was he wasn't going to vote to impeach the Secretary of Homeland Security, you know, because, again, that was a bridge too far for him. So there are still all of these Republicans who want to have a different path. But then they see somebody like Mitch McConnell endorse Trump yesterday, and they go, well, what are we supposed to do? There's so many Republican or Republican-leaning folks who feel politically homeless right now, and you and our next guest, Jamie Wall, you have to reach out to these folks.
Mm-hmm. Well, and with regards to Mike Gallagher, I disagree with him on a lot of things, especially when it comes to reproductive rights. But, you know, Mike Gallagher is a good conservative and he is a good human being and he has a North Star. And you see people like Mitch McConnell who just may always make that political move, which has been great for Mitch McConnell's political career. But how good has it been for the people who he serves? And sometimes I wonder, how does he sleep at night?
Or does he?
like a little turtle.
Hey, in our daily newsletter, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. We've got our story, if you missed it last week, about Columbus, Wisconsin, having the best tasting drinking water in the country. And there is still a video rental place in Wisconsin that is making a very good living, thank you very much, renting VHS tapes. Somebody's still got to have those players. Jamie Wall joins Kristen Lyerly coming up right after this on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. From Courier Newsroom, our new podcast, Vibes Only, is out with Brian Derrick and Glennis Mahar. Their guest this week is digital strategist Annie Wu, who helped with TikTok content for various political groups, for AOC, for John Fetterman. They will review some of the stories shaping the campaign. Look for Vibes Only at couriernewsroom.com or wherever you get your podcasts. TikTok strategy. If that's something that you would have said to me and to our next guest back when we were first running for office, we would have looked at you really funny because that wasn't a thing yet. But this, the strategy of running a campaign has changed so much over the years. You have to stay current with it. And that's what Jamie Wall is going to be trying to do now in Northeast Wisconsin, Kristen.
Yeah, typically this is our Women Win Wisconsin segment on Thursday mornings at 7:30. But we just want to acknowledge that that's not just about women candidates. That's about the candidates that also support women. So we're going full big tent with our dude edition of Women Win Wisconsin today.
Well, nice. Thanks, Kristen. If it helps, I think both Pat and I have a little bit of an androgynous name. So you know.
That is true. There,
right. Okay, we'll go with that, Pat.
I remember the Saturday Night Live skit, Pat.
Yes, you did. Thanks for the reminder. I needed that like a hole in the head.
All right, Jamie Wall, yesterday you had a big announcement for the people of Northeast Wisconsin and for all of Wisconsin. Tell us about you.
Oh, sure. Born and raised here in Brown County. Actually grew up in my family's dairy farm not too far south of here. I've lived in Green Bay for my whole adult life. Created a successful small business, given back to the community in different ways in public service. But the big announcement yesterday down at the I Love Green Bay sign on the banks of the Fox River was that I'm now officially announced as a candidate for the newly redrawn and Democratic-leaning 30th state Senate seat here in Green Bay and central Brown County. So the district is Green Bay, Alloway, Ashwaubenon, De Pere, Bellevue, and just a little bit of a couple rural townships to the south, Ledgeview and Rockland.
You know, we never really quite talked about that, Kristen. You, with the old maps, you talked all the time about how there's these three state Senate districts. They're very sprawling, but the three Republicans all live like within a stone's throw of each other. I've never really asked you with these new maps about the differences in the districts and, you know, whether the 30th and the others, you know, look to be more competitive.
Well, these three current senators, soon to be former senators, all live so close to each other that when the new map was drawn, they all got districted into the same district. So they're scrambling a little bit because, you know, these are people who've been very comfortable in their seats. They haven't had to fight for their seats for over a decade. And now they are having to really think about what to do to hold on to these seats. And then we see, like a breath of fresh air, Jamie Wahl coming in with all of these ideas about what he wants to do to represent the people of Green Bay and Northeast Wisconsin, the place where he grew up and that he's called home for such a long time. Jamie, why would you do this crazy thing, run for office?
Sometimes I ask myself that question, Kristen. I think it's really a chance to apply my talents to give back to the people around me. Now, the Green Bay area is a great place to live. U.S. News and World Report ranked this the number one place in the country to live and work and raise a family a year ago. And I didn't need an article from Out of State magazine to tell me that. But the truth is there's a lot of people here who, you know, need their elected leaders to step up for them, that they're, you know, they have struggles and challenges in life, and they should and they deserve somebody representing them in Madison who's going to take the time to listen to them and understand their concerns, and then try to do something to make their life a little bit easier. And, you know, as you know better than I do, for more than a decade, the voters of Wisconsin had very little influence on the direction of the state legislature. And I think that's going to change. And this is one of the places that's going to help make that change happen. So what does that mean? I mean, you know, just talking to people, I mean, a lot of them are concerned about just how costs have gone up, healthcare, childcare, housing. And those are all things that state government has something to do with. I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to have a magic wand and solve all the world's problems overnight, but I can say that I'm going to push in the right direction. I'm always going to think about the people who, are having a little bit of trouble, a little bit of struggles in life, and that their government should be working for them in particular.
What makes you that guy? What makes you that guy who thinks that you can be part of the solution? Because as you said, yeah, there are lots of problems out there. People are really struggling. So how can you in particular help?
Well, I've made a career in working with business people to get all the facts together, get the right people around the table, talk about things, come to a decision, and then figure out how to make it happen. I think that kind of problem-solving approach where you're willing to listen to everybody and try to, you know, compromise if necessary. I know that's been a four-letter word in Madison for a long time, but maybe the new maps as we're talking about would help to bring a little bit of decency and moderation and common sense as well as sticking up for the people who need it. So that maybe makes me that guy.
Well, let's talk about the business experience. You helped found the Northeast Wisconsin Economic Development Organization, right? And like you said, a business consultant right now. So we're going to talk in a second about some of the other issues, you know, surrounding healthcare and choice and schools. But sure, from an economic standpoint, much like, you know, President Biden has to let people know, you know, the real story of the economy. What's the real story of what you and Democratic candidates, you know, would want to do for businesses and business growth in Wisconsin?
Right. No, that's a great question, Pat. You know, certainly now, but even for most of the last 20 years, the problem here hasn't been the unemployment rate. We've been pretty blessed here in Wisconsin to generally have jobs available. The problem we've had is the quality of those jobs, which isn't always the best. And especially with, you know, the inflation we've seen in the past couple of years coming out of the pandemic, people have noticed the cost of things have gone up, and we want to promote higher wage jobs. And that usually means investing in startup companies, because we're, you know, here in the area, we're lucky to have a great economic base in paper industry and insurance, all sorts of business services, Schneider, trucking, you name it. But it's new companies that entrepreneurs go out and start and found, and that account for most of the job growth, not only here, but all over the country. So anything we can do to support and nurture those businesses, the New North, the Regional Economic Development Association that you mentioned that I was involved in forming 20 years ago is one example, but there are other good examples that, you know, NWTC, the tech college here, business incubators. There's certainly support from parts of the state government that I'm pretty familiar with in my past life. So I would think a focus on entrepreneurship and new business growth is something that would help not only this area, but the rest of the state.
We definitely value, we've got that hometown feel here, small business and leaning in on community. And Jamie, your history really demonstrates that this is something that's been really important to you for a very long time.
I think so. I mean, I think both my sort of professional life and for a couple of years, I ran the part of the state government that helped private sector businesses expand around the state. We worked to get the first new paper machine in the Procter & Gamble mill in forever. It was the first new paper machine in the state. And that was a tens or maybe even hundreds of millions of dollars investment. I have to look back and remember. But that was a big signal that we're here to stay and that those good union family supporting jobs are going to be here for the foreseeable future. So there's a role in the state government to do smart things to help companies that are expanding and creating jobs.
Yeah, there sure is. So, you know, I have to ask about reproductive rights. Where do you stand on political interference in our most personal healthcare decisions?
Well, when you put it that way, I'm opposed. Look, I happen to believe that women are people, and that shouldn't be a controversial opinion, although I think there are plenty of politicians around the Capitol who would have trouble with that statement. And women deserve to make their own choices about their own bodies and their own healthcare, and healthcare very much includes reproductive healthcare.
Does that go as well, then, I would assume, toward something like expanding Medicaid postpartum coverage beyond the current 60 days to a full year, now that we're one of,
cheapers,
Kristen, what is it, four yeah. states that still haven't done that?
Oh, gosh, no, we absolutely should do that. I mean, and I think that's a great example, Pat, of the kind of spending that's going to more than pay for itself. You know, healthy kids, healthy babies, getting people off to a good start in life. It just sounds like you're going to avoid problems down the road. And Kristen, I'm sure you've seen examples of this in your own medical practice. And, you know, we're one of a slightly larger number of states, I think, who haven't accepted the ACA Medicaid expansion that was been available for the state for, you know, 14 years or something now. And, you know, that's a bunch of jargon for people who don't follow this stuff. But what it means is that we've been turning away essentially free money from the federal government that could go to provide healthcare to poorer citizens across Wisconsin. And so, I mean, healthcare access certainly matters for women and access to abortion and other forms of reproductive healthcare. But, you know, I guess as the honorary dude on this segment, healthcare goes beyond reproductive choice and affects, you know, every human being here.
And when you're turning back literally billions of dollars that Republicans have financially mismanaged, it tells you that there are better ways that we could be running healthcare here. And then finally, let's touch on public education. Obviously, the voucher program has turned into a Frankenstein's monster in terms of what it is sucking away from skimming off the top to our public schools. That's my opinion. Where are you on your support for public schools?
Look, I'm a product of the public school system, and I can tell you that I owe a lot to the taxpayers of Wisconsin who invested in me, you know, when I was a kid, and we should absolutely continue that for the current generations. I mean, what you said, Pat, is dead on. I mean, you said that was a Frankenstein's monster, but I think that was by design that, you know, they wanted to get the sort of nose of the camel under the tent. And eventually you would see that a lot of the public school systems would be kind of hollowed out. And look, we've got a lot of great schools here in the Green Bay area. The De Pere district, I think, is, you know, usually viewed as maybe the best in Brown County, with my own alma mater close second. But
you know, spoken like a Wright Town grad.
some districts have more challenges than others, and we've absolutely seen money and students draining out of the Green Bay schools. And what happens then is you begin to fear for the future of that system. Now, I think with the right leadership and some policy changes in Madison, we could turn that around relatively easily, but it takes people who actually believe in public education and believe in using government to do good for people and kids in this case, which should be like the least controversial thing you can imagine, right?
Mm-hmm. Jamie, yeah, hearing you talk just gives me hope. Like, wow, we could have actual Medicaid expansion and 100,000 Wisconsinites could have access to care. Wow, we could start investing in our public education again so that people are getting, we don't have this parallel system and people are getting the resources that they need. I'm getting excited just listening to you and the things that you care about and the difference that you intend to make in that.
Which is really good, because for a second there, I thought she was going to break out into the Kakana school song as long, once we were comparing districts, I might actually remember that. Jamie, if folks want to know more about your campaign, what should they be doing?
The best place to find me is Wall for Wisconsin, WALLFOR Wisconsin.com. And, we've also got Facebook and Twitter, which is Wall for WI, a little shorter with those handles, but you can find me there.
Okay. And we were talking about TikTok and, we're not going to ask you the dance, but I noticed, who did we talk to? I'm blanking. Emily Steffos. Yeah. Boy, yes. She's got a great little social media presence there. And it's nice to see when candidates know that you've got to reach voters where they are. So right. I was encouraged to see that you're jumping right on social media to reach people there as well. Jamie.
Right. It's early days. I just announced yesterday, but we'll expand and grow that presence over time, Pat. Absolutely.
Oh, there's no doubt there whatsoever. Hey, good to see you again. It's been a long time. Best Absolutely. Wishes to you. And
Thank
talk
you.
Again real soon.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much. Kristen's actually going to hit us up with a rendition of the Kakana fight song, if she can remember the words, coming up after the break. It'll be a duet that she does along with Luke Mathers, who joins us after some time away. That's all coming up next here on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Honeycomb's big.
I didn't really have any other kind of cereal jingle to play, so I had to go back to the 70s for this one, just to make the point on this National Cereal Day that Honeycomb was never anybody's favorite cereal.
No, wow! I mean,
the marketing was good, though.
The marketing was good. I mean, catchy jingle, but I mean, it was always just so, it got stale, not just like after a couple of days in the box, but like after 45 seconds in your bowl. It had gone stale at that point. But
that was a long walk to throw some shade, bro.
That technology must have been fixed by the mid-90s, because I never had that problem.
You actually had Honeycomb?
Yeah, Honeycomb's delicious.
Yeah, back see, Luke, back in Pat's day, he actually ate the Honeycomb.
He had to go out to the back and find the hive
covered
and
in bee stings. It's so delicious.
This is stale. I don't like it.
I have a like Winnie the Pooh thing going on in my head right now.
Is Pat pantsless?
I was gonna say, am I in a red shirt? No pants. Geez. Mr. Mathers, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Pat? You sound a little worse for the wear, unfortunately.
I'm slowly recovering.
Okay.
Kristen, as a doctor, it's funny that of all the many medical miracles, all the scientific advancements, one of the things that still is the most baffling is the common cold, right?
Yeah, and when you told me about your throat, what did I recommend for you?
I don't
Honey.
Know.
Honey.
Yes, and I did, and I gulped some down. I went out, I got the honeycomb, and I had that with some lemon tea, and it did absolutely nothing. But that's because it wasn't just laryngitis. Overnight, it then developed into body aches and all that other stuff. But the thing about, we say a cold or a head cold or a common cold, and sometimes it's your nose is runny, and sometimes it's a dry cough, and sometimes it's a wet cough. And I just think it's funny that for all the other things we've done, the common cold still has so many variations that, you know, all we can really do is try to treat some of the symptoms. We have a ways to go yet.
Yeah. And that's what you do, is you treat the symptoms, because mm-hmm. antibiotics will not cure the common cold. So you just got to wait it out.
Yeah. I mean, look, there used to be things that when we were younger, it was a death sentence, and now it's not. And I wonder, like 50 years from now, people are going to go, oh my God, you guys didn't know that this is how you prevent, you know, you take this shot and you'll never have a head cold again. That would be pretty cool.
I'm not taking that vaccination. I like my freedom.
we will probably have that as well.
You can't vaccinate freedom, Pat.
Mr. Mathers, your title says National Park Explorer. What you been up to?
I was out in the wilderness in the desert of Arizona. So we had a lot of fun. We checked off all three of the national parks in Arizona over the last week. So we are back in the swing of things. And I have a very needy puppy here that is making sure that I keep my attention on her too.
Show the puppy.
If she eats my headphones, it's not my fault.
Oh, look at you.
Right. So she's just off to the side trying to at least stay. I didn't want to put her in the kennel for the 10 minutes. So we're exploring though here. And she's a very curious little one. And she was thrilled to see us back from our national park adventures.
In other words, she'll be cleaning up some little piddle puddles. And
just, nope, we took care of that before the appearance. We're all good there on that front. She's just, you know, she's putting her nose in everything, as puppies are one to do. Mm-hmm. But excited to be back. We've got a lot of things going on here at Civic Media. We got the State of the Union coverage coming up this evening across several different Civic Media talk stations. We've also got your Wisconsin Badgers tonight. As they're finishing up Big Ten conference play before they head to the big tournament. Well, first the Big Ten tournament and then the big tournament, hopefully, despite the little bit of a skid that they've, well, quite a bit of a skid that they've been having.
Quite a bit of a skid,
when
yes.
it comes to Big Ten play. But a lot going on.
Do you happen to have the list in front of you? Because I did not, as far as who's carrying the Badgers tonight versus who's carrying our State of the Union coverage. I've just said monitor your local Civic Media station.
Flip around on the app a little bit.
I was going to say, get the app and flip around otherwise.
The big ones that will be covering the State of the Union are going to be WMDX here in Madison, WAUK in Waukesha, Chippewa Falls, WCFW, the TAP, as well as the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. There may be one more covering the State of the Union, but you will have to monitor your local Civic Media stations. Best thing to do? Download the Civic Media app. You can jump from the Badger game to the State of the Union and get covered for all your politics and your Wisconsin sports entertainment.
Just don't confuse the two. I could just see tomorrow I go to play a clip from Biden's speech, and instead we hear, you know, Matt LaPay calling.
Maybe that's what the Biden campaign needs, is a little more Matt LaPay.
Maybe, you know. Wouldn't that be great if you could get who's the guy that says, you know, are you ready to rumble? You know, if
be careful. Yeah. Do not say those words too loudly. You need to be careful.
With this voice, nobody's gonna confuse me for
the,
that.
The call. AI that's out there that monitors that stuff, you got to be careful. They got something, because they send cease and desist letters immediately, almost. So,
oh my goodness.
Sunday. Can we do that?
We're just gonna get sued.
Thursday.
What the Biden administration really needs to do is go hard in the paint on defense. Really, and that's really what they need to do.
Well, that was something the Milwaukee Bucks were lacking last night.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know.
You can't win them all.
No.
And Steph Curry was ice cold from three the last two games. And historically, when he goes off, like after two back-to-back terrible performances, he was like 0 for 16, I think, from behind the arc going into last night. It was kind of expected that he was going to have a heater, and he did.
Yeah.
So the Golden State had a really good performance. Bucks just didn't have an answer. Bobby Portis and Giannis tried to keep the team in. There's just a real just slowdown of offense when it came.
Once again, Doc Rivers, the best post show. We played bad. We passed bad. It wasn't good.
I feel like I'm right there now.
You got to appreciate that, though. He's just being honest.
I like honesty. I don't know much about basketball, so when he can say it like that, I'm like, oh, they're bad this game.
I've got a text here on the text line from the Hayward area saying, I haven't had a cold for 15 years by using oil of oregano.
You know what?
No, I'm not exactly sure what. Do you pour that on your honeycomb or what that might be? But what's the puppy's name if you're going to put that puppy back on camera?
Aurora. Again? Hey, she decided to join camera. But this is Aurora.
Aurora.
She's 10 weeks old today, and she's having just the best time exploring.
And eating.
I miss my dog so much.
I'm going to have to say goodbye to her momentarily. We're going to eat our breakfast cereal, and yep. then, you know, I got to put her away. So she's Thank enjoying you. The freedom now.
Don't say put her down. Put her away. Yeah.
You said put her away. I said put her away.
I know. Thank you. Have a wonderful day, Kristen. Thanks so much. Safe travels. Greg, we'll see you tomorrow morning. Appreciate it all, everybody. That'll do it for us. Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a wonderful Thursday. We'll see you Friday morning.